You're tuned to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Obviously, the cart machine is not working, so actually, we're going to start Radio for Aaron a little early, so stay tuned.
Operation was in place for the third day as the parents and children began their walk to school. Soldiers facing the loyalist side streets lined the route. There seemed to be the least number of protesters so far. There was still apprehension, but all appeared calm. Then stones flew from one side street. Seconds later, the blast bomb was thrown from the loyalist crowd. In all, four police officers were injured, two with shrapnel wounds. At Holy Cross School, the principal, Anne Tammy, tried to comfort her pupils.
We're in uncharted territory now. This is just beyond the answers. I cannot let myself, I cannot let you forget, or your viewers and listeners forget, that this is children going to school. And that's the only issue I can speak on. I'm not into condemnation. I'm not into recrimination. These are 4 or 5-year-old girls going to school.
That was attempted murder of young babies and mothers going to school this morning. And for the next one of our politicians or community people to come on the television and say that this protest isn't against children, I don't want to hear it no more. It's absolutely lies. And the world should see that those people tried to murder babies this morning and mommy's taking their kids to school. And that's, there's no other, they could not justify this argument or that protest any longer, because that's what it is.
Somebody sat down last night in a paramilitary organisation and decided that the thing to do here was to attack these children with a blast bomb and to try and kill them, to intimidate them.
At the scene of the blast was a leading member of the party, which represents the largest loyalist paramilitary group, the UDA. Would he condemn the attack?
I agree with it. Absolutely, it was disgraceful. For any missile to be thrown at those youngsters whatsoever, I don't know who threw them, but certainly I condemn without reservation. It should never happen.
The party representing the other main loyalist group blamed rival paramilitaries.
I'm ashamed today to say that I'm a loyalist. I'm totally ashamed that anybody would do that when young Catholic girls are coming up here. Totally ashamed.
Will you now reconsider your position by coming here?
I will have to reconsider my position.
As the parents returned to the Catholic area, some locals began to applaud. Northern Ireland has a long history of violence, but what happened here today simply defies belief. These parents are still coming to terms with what happened, but the whole of Northern Ireland has to consider that someone somewhere was prepared to throw a blast or pipe bomb at police lines protecting primary school-age children trying to get to class. There should be a community meeting later to discuss the day's events. Dennis Murray, BBC News.
Sunday, and I was very scared going up the road because all the people were shouting at us. And when I got into the school, I was scared, and I said, "Mummy, I want to go home, so I died."
Shauna, what's it been like for you for the last couple of days?
I was scared on Monday because all the people shouting at us, and I was all right when I got into my classroom because my teacher took me up. But then I was scared because my friend heard a bang, and we all looked outside. We didn't go near the window. And then we all looked around, we seen smoke. And then we told our teacher, and my teacher took us out. My mummy came up the classroom, and then we went outside and we seen people hurt. And then we went back on the back of the school through St. Gabriel's, and all taxis come up, and my mummy took me home in a taxi. My mummy didn't want me to go down, and people shouting at me again because I was too scared, because I was crying on the way up.
And were you both talking to your classmates about what had happened?
Yeah.
And what were they saying?
They were all crying, so they were. Nobody was happy. They were all sad, and all their mummies was up with them.
Gemma, how do you feel about going to school now after what's happened?
Every time I go up the laundry room, I just want to go back down it because I don't like going up it. And the day when I went up it, I said that I want to go back down it because it was too much noise there.
And Shauna, how do you feel about going to school now?
I don't want to go up the yard on the road anymore because it's happened twice and it's happened too much because we didn't do anything to them and they're shouting at us, so they are.
So neither of you can possibly understand what you've done to upset the people who were shouting at you?
We don't know. Where did they shout at us for? Because we don't shout at them. Because we just go on trips with our children, we have a good time, but we don't hurt them.
And welcome to Radio Free Erin. And I want to thank Robert Knight for burning that CD of the kids you just heard. What you just heard was a clip from Little Rock, Belfast. People like you to believe that this is the first time this has ever happened, but this is nothing new. And also, if you read the papers, you would believe the trouble started 30 years ago, that it was hunky-dory before 30 years, that when the border was set up, everything was lovey-dovey and there was no demonstrations at churches and at schools. Well, we've been covering all of that, especially some of the Catholic churches that Paisley's been picketing. So this is just the loyalists ratcheting up to a new level or down to a new level, Bernie. It's very hard to know what we're going to, if they're going up or down, the loyalists, at this stage.
Yeah, well, John, anybody with a memory, like you mentioned the word Selma, Little Rock. It brings back memories of those dark days back here in the 1960s in America The only thing missing, one woman said it over there, I watched it, was they weren't wearing sheets. And this is exactly what it was. People screaming at these kids. And I tell you, I don't think you can get anything more horrific than looking at the faces of little girls who are terrified.
Well, Earl Caldwell yesterday on his show here on WBAI said the pictures that he's looking at are still etched in his mind. And believe you me, Earl Caldwell has been around the block a few times and has seen a few things in his country. And he said they were harrowing pictures yesterday on his show. Well, on today's show, we'll be going to Belfast, and we're going to Ardoyne, and we have lined up some of the parents and one of the kids. Now, I was speaking to them today, and they said the child really hasn't spoken much this week. So we're going to try and coax her to speak and to see, you know, what her feelings were, what happened this week. But we will have the parents on to speak what it was like to take their daughter up there. And that'll be at around, hopefully, the 2:10 hour. It'll be 7:10 over there. We also want to announce that, you know, we've been covering the Turkish hunger strike. And if you go to the Irish Times today, I think it's Ireland.com, go to the feature section. There's a very good column there written by Kitty Holland describing, she just got back, she was arrested herself, about what's going on over there. But Radio Free Erin is going to organize a rally for the hunger strikers in Turkey on October 20th at the Turkish Consulate, 44th Street and 1st Avenue. That is the first day of the Turkish hunger strike. That time last year. So we will try and show solidarity. We want everyone that supports political prisoners and political prisoners anywhere to show up and support the people that are on hunger strike in Turkey. And if you want to join with us and help us organize it here, you can call 212-209-2971. That's 212-209-2971, or you can email me at jmcdonagh@nyc.rr.com, and I'll do that slowly now. jmcdonagh@nyc.rr.com. We'll accept all the support we can get, and we'll be reading statements out from Bernadette Devlin, who is actually speaking today in Dublin at a rally for the Turkish hunger strikers, of which we'll be going to later, that Sandy Boyer has some of the people that participated this afternoon. We also want to announce that next week we'll be going to Colombia. I was speaking to some of the Irish people living down there in Bogota, and they've been visiting the three Irishmen who are in prison in Bogota and one of the worst prisons in Colombia. During the week, there was a petrol bomb thrown at the three on their landing. Death threats have been issued by the right-wing paramilitary stating that they will kill them if they can get to them inside the prison. They're being housed by the FARC prisoners. They've stated that if they stick their fingers outside of their cell doors, they will chop them off. The food has to be brought in from the outside. The right-wing paramilitaries are poisoning the food that's going into the FARC and into these three Irish guys who are in prison in Bogota. So we'll be speaking to someone who had a visit this week, and our own Mario Murillo will be here in the studio, and he just returned from Colombia, and he'll be telling us the spin that's down there in Colombia, that they're trying to collapse two-priest process with these three guys, stating that the FARC were training with these alleged members of the Provisional IRA, stating that they're not interested in negotiations. And on the Irish side, you have the unionists saying that with them there, that the Provisional IRA are not in the business of the peace process in Ireland. So it should be a very good show next Saturday when we have everyone there. As I said, in about 10 minutes, we'll be going to Sandy Boyer. But right now, we'll make a few announcements. Eliza?
Okay, so musical announcements first. This Friday, coming up, September 14th, Cathal McConnell will be at the Blarney Star. That's 43 Murray Street at Church Street every Friday night. Some great Irish music if you want to go down there. Also, coming up in October, the Water Boys will be in town. Well, the Water Boy, and that will be October 5th and 6th at Irving Plaza. Also, a week from tomorrow, Sunday, there'll be the last pier party of the season. That's next Sunday. Pier party. Come down and see Bernard White, Amy Goodman, Grandpa, Robert Knight. That's Chelsea Piers, 23rd Street. Just go on 23rd Street, walk all the way west. That'll be from 2 to 9 p.m. That's always a lot of fun. Music, dancing, and just a lot of great fun seeing a lot of people that you haven't heard around here in a while. And finally, coming up this Wednesday, September 12th, there's going to be a national rally down at Pacifica National Headquarters. That's 2390 Champlain Street down in Washington. There'll be buses leaving from New York and New Jersey. to go down there. For bus information, call Steve at 973-762-3682.
And Amy Goodman, Robert Knight, and Bernard White will be at WBAI in Exile Community Forum in Brooklyn. That is September 23rd at 7 p.m. at PS321. That's 180 7th Avenue between 1st and 2nd Street in the Park Slope area of Brooklyn. The people you haven't heard in a while, if you live in the Brooklyn area, get down to it. That's at 7 p.m. at PS321 between 1st and 2nd Street on 7th Avenue.
Yeah, John, and I'm sure anybody who listens to BAI or watches television remembers that on June 17th, there was three members of New York City's bravest, that's the fire department, were killed in the line of duty out in Astoria in a fire. Firefighter Brian Fahey, firefighter Harry Ford, and firefighter John Downing, they left behind big families. We have a thing from an old friend of ours here, Sean McGee, who is the vice president of the Firefighters Emerald Society of Westchester. And Sean sent us this thing to announce that the Firefighters Emerald Society of Westchester is sponsored a fundraiser on September 16th. That's up at Rory Dolan's on the 890 McLean Avenue, right in Yonkers. It begins at 12 noon. All kinds of good entertainment. I mean, top Irish and Irish-American entertainment. Cherish the Ladies, Pat McGuire, Eileen Ivers, Shenicky, Bally Mack, and the Cunningham Brothers are going to be there. So once again, that's on September 16th at Rory Dolan's, 890 McLean Avenue in Yonkers. It's a really, really worthy cause. This fund for the children of the firefighters who were so tragically killed out there in Astoria in June.
It's come to our attention, or my attention, from two different sources up here at WBAI. I've been doing, or sitting in on Bob Fast's show for the past almost 2 months, and I have to say, what a privilege. It's been the highlight of my radio career. I have done radio in Australia. I've done radio in Ireland, and particularly here at WBAI throughout the 80s and 90s, and it's always been something to watch Bob work, who's been working and doing radio here since the 60s, but it's come to my attention through two different people that people are reviewing the tapes of the show that was on here last Thursday night, Friday morning, and it's been reported that some people want to get rid of myself, Bill Propp, who works with Bob Fast himself, and also Anthony Sloan, about some of the things that were run on the show that night. Amy Goodman's speech was played, which was from 23rd Street at a meeting at 23rd Street. And also there was some comedy, a comedy bit that I did. It was just showing some of the craziness that's going on up here at WBAI. We played that, and we had Grandpa Al Lewis at the same event in Caroline's. And Al gave, you know, his assessment of where he thinks things are going here. And I just wanted to state, I had a meeting with Utresa a couple of months ago, and I stated to her, you know, I've been known to have a big mouth, and that if I do get in trouble, particularly on another show, that she should just get rid of me and not cancel Radio Free Erin itself. And I hope it doesn't come to that, because of what I'm speaking out a bit about. I don't think it should be that Noli Hogora should be canceled, and Ed Maloney, and Amy McCann, and Sandy, and Bernie, and everybody else, Eliza, that are all home. Radio Free Erin is a lot bigger than me speaking on Bob Fast's show. So, and I also heard some people were upset about the comedy bit, and I just want to say, it's a parody. We were hoping to do that night, Bernie and myself. We were going to take the stage in balaclavas and combat gear and do a parody of Radio Free Erin and the perception that some people have of the show. So we're going to play the comedy bit a little bit later on, but we want people out there that are mentioned in it. And as a matter of fact, and I mentioned David Rothenberg and Bernard White and a lot of people, and just take it as comedy. It is not personal attacks on anyone here at the station. It is a parody of how I perceive a lot of things that are going on here at the station. So we can only hope that we keep going here, and we'll be allowed to speak, and you know that Bob will be allowed to do his thing. And as I was telling Bob during the week, Bob could do no other show than what he did last Friday. It would not be in his persona to do something different. This is what Bob's been doing since the 60s, and what he did there on Friday was just no different than what he did in the 60s. And he finished up with a a very funny interview, I thought, with Abbie Hoffman that he did, I believe, back in 1968. And just to hear some of the, and those are historic tapes, what he's playing. And I don't think the people here in New York City or throughout the world through the internet should be denied hearing that. And there should be dissent allowed at that station. And I hope it will be tolerated. That's my little bit. I think right now we're going to go with a little music, and then we're heading to a rally for the hunger strikers in Turkey that was held today in Dublin. Sandy Boyer will be on the line with the people that spoke at that rally.
Southern trees bearing strange fruits, blood on the leaves, blood at the roots, black bodies swinging in the southern. Strange fruits hanging from the poplar trees, pastoral scene of the gallant south, and them big bulging eyes. Twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the subtle smell of here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the winds to suck, for the sun to rot, for the trees to drop. Here is a strange, a bitter cry.
And that was Strange Fruit by Karen Casey, a big fan of Radio Free Erin. As we stated at the top of the show, Radio Free Erin will be organizing a rally in support of the Turkish hunger strikers on October 20th, which will be the one-year anniversary. If you want to become part of this, it's 212-209-2971. 212-209-2971. Call that number if you want to help, or email me at jmcdonagh@nyc.rr.com. That's jmcdonagh@nyc.rr.com. Earlier today in Belfast, we'll be going there later, but in Dublin, there was a rally in support of the Turkish hunger strikers, and our own Sandy Boyer was at it, and he's in Dublin. And Sandy, can you give us an update on what happened in Dublin today?
We had over 1,000 people rallying in front of the GPO. We got the sad news that another Turkish hunger striker has died. In a minute, I'm going to give you Gürkan Gürka, the European representative of the Turkish hunger strike campaign. But we had an amazing rally. Buses came down from Belfast. Desi Ellis, who many of us remember, he was on hunger strike, protesting extradition to England. He spoke. Bernadette Devlin McCalliskey spoke, a very moving speech. Challenged all the parties in the Dáil, and both the Green Party and Sinn Féin were represented, challenged them to put a motion in the Doyle calling to expel the Turkish ambassador, and it was very well received. It was a very enthusiastic, militant crowd. We marched from the Garden of Remembrance to the GPO, and it couldn't remind you of anything but the demonstrations for the hunger strikers. And, John, I understand you're planning something there.
Yeah, that'll be on October 20th, and I believe what a lot of people throughout Europe will be commemorating the one-year anniversary of the start of the Turkish hunger strike here at the Turkish Consulate at 44th Street and 1st Avenue. And was this a all-over Europe the demonstrations today, Sandy?
No, this was just an all-over Ireland demonstration. There were buses coming down from Belfast. There were people from Bet Derry. I met our own correspondent, Eamon McCann, there. And there were lots of people from Dublin. So it was basically an all-Ireland rally.
So it's touched a chord, then, with people that were involved in 1980?
Very much so. In fact, Maura McCrory, who was organized much of the campaigning for the hunger strikers in Belfast, whose own son was on the blanket, chaired the meeting. I mean, you could have gone back 20 years in time, and it was a hunger strike rally.
Yeah, and I want to let people know, if you want to get really up to date on some of the stuff going on Ireland.com, which is the Irish Times website, Kitty Holland has a column today, just returned from Turkey, and about her experiences there during the hunger strike.
And by the way, she is the daughter of Eamon McCann, who people have heard regularly on WBAI.
Sandy, you said that another person on hunger strike has died. Just for our listening audience, Sandy, would you bring us up to date? How many people have died on this hunger strike?
I believe that will make it 64 if we include the people who were killed when the Turkish army and police assaulted the people in the prisons.
All right, Sandy, maybe you can put us over to the guest.
Gürkan, let me give you the European representative for the hunger strike campaign.
Okay.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, Gürkan. What did you think of the rally today in Dublin?
Yeah, we were overwhelmed with the participation of the people. We were expecting that because our contacts with the people here, there is a committee here has been set up already since May, and they've been working hard, and the people in Belfast was working hard. And they came, eight coaches full, people came from Belfast only. And also we were coming from Belfast as well, so that's why we know the amount. It was very good. We know that this will not initiate, because already been initiated, but this will accelerate the support, people's support. And also the idea came today that the Turkish embassy should be closed down in Ireland. In Dublin, that's why they will now launch the campaign and intensify it in order to achieve that goal.
Gürkan, maybe you can give us an update. Where do we stand now with the hunger strike? Because October 20th will be the 1 year since it started. Do you see this just continuing, or will there be an end to it?
It will continue. I mean, as far as we are concerned, it will continue until victory. We already achieved victory, because if a person is on hunger strike and for 325 days against all odds, against the torture, against the brutality, against isolation, and if that person is refusing to give up unless the situation is changed in favor of the prisoners, then we already can say that we already achieved the victory. But, of course, we are waiting for the physical victory, which we are sure, we are 100% sure that it will happen. Our history is showing that. The determination of the prisoners are showing that, and also the families, of course, we have to mention them as well. My friend already mentioned about the news today that towards the end of the rally, we received the news that one of our friends has been martyred as well. She was, her name is Hülya Kavak. She was from the first team of the hunger strikers, and they started on the 20th of October last year. And after she was released, of course, she was also received medical intervention, force feeding, etc. She was partially impaired, but the side that she was still keeping with her decided to go ahead with the hunger strike, even though she was released, and she joined the other comrades in Istanbul, and she fell martyr today on the 325th day.
Gerka, people who remember the Irish hunger strike of 1981, remember that the hunger strikers had five demands. Now, these hunger strikers, your hunger strikers in Turkey, what are their principal demands, Gerka?
Well, the main demand, of course, the closure of the F-type prisons, which are nothing but isolation prisons. And since 19th of December, when the prisons were transferred from the normal or previous prisons, dormitory type of prisons, to these F-type prisons, since then they are all isolated. They cannot see each other. They cannot see their families. Once their families comes, they're supposed to have at least an hour of visit. But because of the high securities and because of the families are searched for three and four times sometimes, and of course these searches are degrading as well, and including the, for instance, checking the underwears of the woman visitors. It cannot be accepted, and because of the discussions, arguments with the families and the security forces, basically, if they succeeded to go and see their sons and daughters, then it's probably around 5 to 10 minutes is left, and they basically see each other, and then that's it. And of course, the view of the prisoners are not good. They are basically only skin and bone is left on those who are on death fast. I won't go further, but if you haven't got any more questions, just for me, because I have a friend with me whose brother is in the prison. He's on the support on hunger strike, and if you'd like to speak to him.
Yes, go ahead, you can put him on. This is Radio Free Aaron. It's 2 o'clock here in New York City, and throughout the East Coast of the United States, as we're being listened to on the internet, and we're discussing the hunger strike that's going on in Turkey and a huge rally that was held today in Dublin. And are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you give us the latest update on your brother? Did we have you on a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, he was me, yes.
Oh, yeah, from London. That's right. All right, what's the update on your brother?
Just 2 weeks ago, my uncle tried to visit him. And he refused to come out to visit because the oppression is still continuing, even in F-type prisons, when these people are alone. And they don't have any power to, you know, come against those prison warders, actually. They are physically weaker than them. But there's still abuses and tortures going on. And there was high security searches, even when they go out to visit somebody. But now all the prisoners, are most of them in East Prison, are not, you know, accepting to go into the visits. And those visits are normally for 45 minutes, and it used to be when they were in the dormitory-style prisons, it was like whole day. You can go in at 9 o'clock in the morning and come out at 5 o'clock in the evening. And he's been complaining about his eyesight. He's losing his eyesight because of the white walls and continuous lighting on top of the ceiling. He's not well physically. He's mentally okay at the moment, but we don't know what's going to happen. As you know, as soon as he complains about his eyesight, there might be other things coming up.
Listen, could you just go into one aspect of this that's different from the Irish hunger strikers, and it's these death fast houses where the relations and friends are in solidarity with a hunger strike on the outside of the prison. Describe that for our audience.
Basically, you know, these families have been started right from the beginning, when it started in last year, October. And these families are either mothers or dads or sisters or brothers, and even some of them friends of the political prisoners. And as far as they can see, there is no other way of resisting against the fascist Turkish regime in and outside of the prisons. And they decided to go on hunger strike. They are determined as the prisoners to die, you know, just instead of giving their beliefs away or surrendering to the fascist regime, they're ready to die, and it's still going on. You know, every time the prisoners get released, after they've been taken into the hospital, they get released and they just put them on the streets. And these prisoners are actually continuing their hunger strike outside as well. And this is a really good answer to the Turkish regime, because in the past, Turkish regime was saying these prisoners was forced by their terrorist organizations to go on the hunger strike. Look, these people got nothing to do with terrorist organizations, so-called terrorist organizations. They're in the hospital, chained into the bed. They come out and left on the street, but they still run to the struggle. You know, because this just shows the feeling of loving their own people and their country, and how determined they are to continue their struggle in order to change the system in Turkey. And we in Europe started the hunger strike on the 15th of September, which was the 300th day of the hunger strike. And today is our 25th day, and it's my 25th day as well. there was another mother in Switzerland. She's on her 61 day now. She's in a critical position. She doesn't accept any treatment or any intervention, and she's saying she can go on death fast, and until she dies, she will just going to continue this. And it's a bad moment for us at the moment in Europe, because we're living in Europe and our hands are a bit tight. You know, it's just like a matter of missing our country, and we want to be with those people in Turkey, trying to solve problems in the quickest way, even in a radical way if it's necessary. But, you know, we're just doing anything we can do in Europe, and that's why we're on hunger strike at the moment.
This is from today's Irish Times. People in Turkey may be arrested and held for up to several years without trial, accused of terrorist activity, for attending left-wing meetings, selling left-wing newspapers, taking part in left-wing rallies. There are between 11,000 and 12,000 political prisoners in Turkey. About 8,500 are members of the guerrilla group, the PKK, the Kurdish Workers' Party, while the remaining 2,500 to 3,000 are members of other left-wing political groups. Listen, we have many people from Turkey listening to the show. I met a few at Caroline's here a couple of weeks. Do you want to send a message out in Turkish to the people?
In Turkish?
Or Kurdish, or whatever your language is.
I will do that. Kısaca söylemek istediğim şu. Bu insanlar bizim geleceğimiz, bizim ülkemizin bağımsızlığı, sosyalist için savaşıyorlar. Ve tek direnmelerinin amacı da sizler için, siz oralarda yaşasanız da, biz burada İngiltere'de yaşasak da, ülkemizin bağımsızlığı, bizim geleceğimiz, çocuklarımızın geleceği için savaşıyorlar. Bizler için ölüyorlar. Amacımız o insanların ölmesi değil aslında. Onlar da ölmek istemiyorlar. Ama eğer faşist rejim bu kişileri eğer dayatıyorsa, düşüncelerinizden vazgeçin, insanlığınızdan vazgeçin. O zaman bu insanların başka çaresi yok. Zaten dört duvar arasındalar. Tek başındalar. Bembeyaz duvarların ortasında hiç kimseyi göremiyorlar. 24 saat kapalılar. Bunların yapabilecekleri tek şey düşmana teslim olmamak ve direnişlerine devam edebilmek. Ölme uğruna olabilse bile. Bu hiçbir yerde görülmemiştir. Hiçbir insan kendi halkı için ölüme yatmaz. Yani tek bir ülkemizde vardır bu. 325 günden beri bu mücadele sürüyor ve de sürecek. Zafere kadar sürecek. Bizim şehitlerimizden Ahmet İpili 19 Aralık'ta katledilmeden önce kazandık dedi. Ama sadece resmi olması lazım. Amaç bu. Böyle olabilmesi için de sizlerin bu insanlara omuz vermeniz lazım. Onların sesi solu olmanız lazım Amerika'da. Yapabilecekleriniz her ne varsa hiçbir çıkar gözetmeksizin 24 saatinizi vermeniz gerekmiyor. En küçük yapabileceğiniz şey bile onlara destek verecektir. O açıdan çok önemli. Hepinize teşekkürler. Yaşasın ölüm orucu direnişimiz. Haklıyız, kazanacağız.
What language was that?
That was Turkish.
Turkish, all right. Hopefully it passed the FCC rules for Turkish over WBAI. But listen, we'd like to thank you for coming on, and we will be organizing here in New York on October 20th at a rally at the Turkish Consulate here in Manhattan on behalf of the hunger strikers in Turkey.
We'll come as well, you know. We will come along as well.
Oh, okay, yeah. We're hoping that one of you people fly out, either from London or from Ireland, and will address the crowd that we'll have down at the Turkish Council. It's a Saturday. Radio Free Erin will be going live, and we'll have some of the speeches here at WBAI on that day. If you want to put Sandy back on, I just want to say goodbye. And,
sure, we'll.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, Sandy, we're going to continue, and we're going to be heading up to Belfast very shortly to interview some of the parents and the kids that were involved with Little Selma, or Little Rock, yeah. Belfast there during the week.
And I want to say that Gürkan, when he addressed the crowd, specifically expressed solidarity with the children in Ardoyne and said that their struggle is the Turkish people's struggle. And, John, I can't tell you how incredibly inspiring this was. I mean, to hear these people who are on hunger strike themselves, whose relatives are on hunger strike, and to feel the reaction. They're telling me that they're getting much more reaction out of the Irish community than anybody else, because the Irish people here really understand what it's about. And, you know, next week there's a delegation of former political prisoners going out to Turkey. We're going to visit the relatives and the friends who are on the fast outside of the prison. And I think we're going to be able to talk to some of those people.
Well, Sandy, make sure you stay on top of that, because we'll definitely be covering that next week.
Take care, John.
All right. And you just listened to Sandy Boyer, who's over there in Dublin, and we were covering the rally that went on in support of the Turkish hunger strikers. Before we head to Belfast, we want to speak to Chris Duggan. He's with the Irish Freedom Committee, and he's just returned from Ireland, where he had visits with Irish political prisoners in the Belfast area. Chris, you there?
How you doing, John?
Chris, who did you visit in prison, and what was that like, and trying to get to the prison?
Well, I visited Tommy Crossan. He's a political prisoner for the Continuity IRA. And his sister and one of his children, of his four children. And extensive security, obviously, it's a prison. They searched me, and besides that, we got in okay. But other than that, it was all right to get in.
Now, Chris, one of the problems that's going on in Irish prisons is that there's no segregation, that the loyalists are mixed in with the Republicans, and there's a clear threat to the Republican prisoners in the prison.
Tommy definitely expressed his concern about this. As you reported, he's already been splashed by scalding water from one of the loyalist prisoners. He's in the same wing with Johnny Adair. Actually, when I went to meet him, they were actually going to sit Johnny Adair next to us in the same area that the family visits and stuff. And twice a week, just to get an idea of what happens there, twice a week they let a dirty into his room, run through his bed. They tear his room apart, and his spirits are high. He remains vigilant. And but, you know, the conditions are menial, to say the least. I mean,
Chris, I understand when you were over there, you had some problems with your accommodations in the city of Belfast. I think some people weren't too happy that you were over there.
No, not at all, Bernie. See, the cultural center in Belfast put me up with someone, a supposed B&B, and I sort of got the hint when I was looking around and I saw pictures with the person, Jerry Adams, and then who I was at the Republican Sinn Féin office on the Falls Road. And she didn't want to discuss it, neither did I mean. But someone either gave her a call and told her I had to leave, or she took it upon herself. But the way it sounded was someone probably told her that I had to leave because of my political affiliation.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's great to be welcome there. Listen, Chris, I'm sorry we have to cut this short because of what we're doing, but what events are the Irish Freedom Committee doing down in the Jersey area?
Okay, well, National Irish Freedom Committee, on October 21st, we're having a 5K run, and it's On the Run for Ireland in support of Erenua, Irish Peace Formula. It's at Thompson Park in Lincroft, New Jersey. For more information, you can call me, Chris Dugan, at 732-804-8159. And also having the first annual Ellen Farley Testimonial Dinner at Doolin's Restaurant in Spring Lake Heights, New Jersey, on Friday, November the 2nd. And it will be honoring Bart Daugherty, who will receive the Ellen Farley Award, and Congressman Peter J. Rodino will receive the Aaron Nua Award. And for more information on that, you can call 732-441-3679, and the chairman is Mary Costello.
And you can also go to irishfreedom.net if you want more information. Chris, sorry to rush you, but we're heading now to Belfast. And we're going to speak with Joe Lagan. He's a member of Republican Sinn Féin. He lives up in the Ardoyne area. And I'll quickly read from one of the newspapers. But when we walked down the road, there were men right beside us on the footpath, so close you could feel their breath on your face. They were shouting, "Fenian whore, go on, smack your child so the world can see them cry," they said. "Your priests are child molesters. Which one of those molesters is your daddy?" Now, this was just some of the verbal abuse that was being hurled at 4- and 5-year-olds that were going to school. Joe, give us an outlay about what happened this week.
Hello?
Yeah, Joe.
Well, I think at the first year you were away, well, as you know, the thing's been ongoing from June, really. People tend to forget, but loyalists putting up flags on the Ardoyne Road attacked parents going up to collect the primary school children at Holy Cross. That's been forgot about, and people trying to bring other issues into it. As you know, on Monday, the children, on their first day back to school, and you have to remember, some of them, it was their first day, the start of their school life, were met by Crown forces. You had hundreds of British soldiers and RUC men, a few were out here. you had hundreds of loyalists behind that again. As you've seen yourself on the footage on TV or whatever, they're very violent, very aggressive towards the children. The parents had to go up what was some sort of tunnel. But they either had bulletproof glass or perspex glass up one side of the footpath. The children had to be broken up that way as well to the school. They were abused. They were spat at. They were stoned. They had bottles thrown at them. You had children no more than babies in their mother and father's arms being abused. As the days went on, the children were bombed. They had bombs thrown at them. Again, they were abused, were spat at. As you know, the talk was unbelievable. A witness, I'm not a parent of any children at school, but being a witness and seeing what was happening there, to the pit of my stomach, I was sickened. I never thought anybody could hate, and especially hate children so much as what I seen and witnessed that day. I mean, you could feel the hate in the air, you could taste it, you could see it in their faces. The issue was, here's Catholic children. I mean, for the most, they were ignoring the adults and directly targeting the children for the abuse. And the years I've been around North Belfast and seen what I've seen during them years, and I've seen a lot of bad things, I've never ever witnessed anything like that in my life towards children. I mean, the eyes of the world was watching that. If it was any other country in the world, it just simply wouldn't be allowed to happen. But here, as a unionist, the Orange Statelet, I've said it, Catholics are second-class citizens. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, or child, that's the way you'll be treated. Now, the parents, they've had a hard time, a very hard time. I don't know how to do it. And the children, I mean, what they're doing, they're going to school. Education, tell anyone, is not a privilege, it's a right. They have a right to walk to school, and they have a right to be educated. And, I mean, nobody can take that right away from them. Why should they be forced in the back doors when there's a front door? As I said, I mean, nobody is going to be settled to be a second-class citizen in any country in the world or be treated that way.
Oh, you were speaking like this has been going on for some time over there. Anybody that I speak to from Belfast said that, you know, this is nothing new. This has been going on. In the last couple of years, remember what went up in Harryville with people trying to go to church and things like this, and in other parts of the occupied six counties. The whole thing now, Joe, it seems to be that the same thing that happened in this country with Vietnam and with the marches in the South and the whole thing like this, it's on television. And this is, like you said, horrendous. I don't think I've ever seen anything covered so much in Belfast as this week was. From Italian TV to Korean TV, anybody who has cable here in New York City had about 30 channels that they could watch this repeated thing on. And to me, like when you bring it down to it, there was one woman leaning over a car, and she was not only calling them Fenian bastards, but she was calling them we Fenian bastards. And to me, that said it. I said, my God, everybody's Sinn Féin is talking about, you know, getting along with these people, living with them and all of this. Nothing's changed. These people are still what they were 40, 50, 60 years ago.
No, nothing's changed at all. I mean, anybody who claims anything's changed in this country, they are fooling themselves or just an outliers. Nothing has changed. We've had, the world has witnessed what's been going on the Ardoyne Road, and we are talking about the issue is school children. And, I mean, it's not the niceness of the Catholic people that's making the issue school children. It's the Protestant stroke loyalist people who have made the children an issue.
Yeah, Joe, can you explain who our next guests are and who's coming on now next?
Mr. and Mrs. Steele and their daughter. Their daughter, Orla.
What's the daughter's name?
Orla.
Orla.
They have spent this past 5 mornings, this past 5 afternoons, bringing a child up to school, through all that abuse. And these are the people, really, who can tell you. I mean, I've stood close to the, you've seen in the pictures on the TV, the armored tanks. I've stood close to them, and that's still a fair bit away from the school. I mean, to walk to the school, although a few minutes, I'm sure it seems to them like a lifetime for what they're doing through there.
Okay, could you put Mrs. Steele on?
Mrs. Steele, no problem.
And you're listening to Radio Free Erin, and we're covering the Loyalist
Hello.
Protest. Hello, Mrs. Steele.
Hello.
Listen, I know when you probably got up Monday morning, you never expected what was going to happen throughout the week. Maybe you can take us through your day, what happened Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Well, on Monday we were told when we got up the road that it was going to be a peaceful protest. And on the way up the road, they had a perspex barrier for us to walk behind, and it seemed very, very intimidating. The police, the army, it was all in full riot gear, and when we started that walk, it was quiet, and by the time we got about 20 yards up the road, that's when the abuse started, and they called the children names, and things had just...
This is still, just for our audience, and don't worry about the language, what were they calling the kids and yourself?
Well, I can't really say, the daughter's here with me.
Right.
Fenian bees and lots worse. Lots and lots worse.
And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, what happened? And did you go to, did you bring, how old is your child, and did you go each day to school?
Yes, I've been every day. She's 10. The first day we went up, I was in that bad of a state when I got to the school. I ended up bringing her home again. And on the second day up, when they started throwing bricks and bottles, I turned back. But on the Wednesday, when we walked up, it was really, really quiet. And then we got halfway up between the school and the starting point is when they threw the bomb. And it was very, very frightening. The children were squealing. The parents were squealing and didn't know why to run back or go forward or what, but just didn't know what way to go.
And did you feel you were being attacked? You didn't know where the bomb went off, like front or back?
Didn't know where
back.
The bomb went off. I think I had just passed the point where the bomb went off at that time, and I couldn't look behind me. I just thought everybody behind me would have been dead.
Well, Mr. Steele, we're reading about now just some of the side effects that are going on, and I'm taking this off the BBC. A general practitioner working in North Belfast has said he has prescribed sedatives and tranquilizers, including Disempan, to Catholic pupils caught up in the loyalist protests. Dr. Michael Tan, who works for the Flax Health Center in Ardoyne, said that seeing children so distressed has been extremely upsetting. The children are traumatized earlier this week when bricks and stones were thrown by loyalist protesters. The most serious trouble was Wednesday when there was a bomb thrown at them. Dr. Tan warned that some of the children, many as young as 8, could now become addicted to drugs. This problem does not look like it's going to go away overnight. The only way to calm the older children down is to get them through the day and night has been to give them low doses of benzodiazepine. My worry is that we have a new generation of children as young as 10 that are taking potentially addictive drugs at this young age. He added, in the future, any sort of stressful situation may trigger off this learned response in the families, and the only way to cope with it will be to take something for their nerves. Dr. Nicola Rooney, a leading clinical psychologist in the Belfast Royal Victoria Hospital, has warned that the events of this week could cause long-term psychological damage to the children. As they will experience more and more of the trauma, I think you'll find changes in how your child behaves and how they develop in ways of trying to contain their emotions, she said. The way they express their feelings will change over the course of time. Does that ring true?
Yeah, very, very true. I can see signs of it already. And not only in my daughter, but my husband and myself. Very bad signs of it.
And have you tried to get prescription drugs?
No, not at the minute. I don't think it's that bad at the minute, but I think through time it will be.
Do you think there's any way your daughter could speak to us? Is she up for it? Because I
yes.
Okay, put Orla on.
Okay, hold on a sec.
Hello?
Hello, Orla.
Hello?
Are you there, Orla?
Yeah.
Orla, how long have you been going to this school?
6 years.
6 years. You've been going there quite a long time. And were you looking forward to going to school this after the long summer?
Yeah.
You were. And did you get to meet all your friends and everything?
Yeah.
And what did you think when you were going to school on Monday, what it was going to be like? Did you have any idea that there might be some trouble?
Yeah.
And what do you think happened? What happened when you went to school this week?
Well, they were throwing bricks at us when we were walking up and battled.
And do you understand why they were doing this?
No.
And when you're talking among your friends, what are you guys saying to each other? What are you talking about? What's going on?
know.
Right. And do you discuss it among yourselves, among your friends? Do you call up your friends and say, oh, my God, did you see what happened today?
No.
And are you nervous to go back to school?
Yeah.
And do you think you're going to go back on Monday now?
I don't know.
And will you make a big push maybe that you might want to stay home, that you're a bit afraid about what's going on?
Yeah.
And what do you think of grown-ups doing this?
I think it's very bad. Just.
And you get to hear a lot of the bad names that they're calling. Isn't that terrible for you to hear, too?
Yeah.
Well, Orla, I think at 10 years old, a lot of people around the world have been watching what's going on with you, and a lot of people are supporting you, Orla, and what you're doing. And I think your mother and father have some very tough decisions to make in the days and weeks to come at your school. And you still want to go back to the school?
Yeah.
And do you like living in your area in Belfast?
Yeah.
What are some of the good things that you like about Belfast?
Just because my mom and friends are there.
And you get to play with them out in the backyard? There's no danger when you're playing with them? You don't have to be afraid?
No.
So you feel fairly safe in your neighborhood. It's just that when you're going to school, you have the grown-ups yelling and throwing stuff at you.
Yeah.
Well, Orla, do you have anything else to say that you might want to tell us over here on this side of the Atlantic? And we really thank you for coming on, because I understand during the week that you were very nervous about some of the things that were going on.
No.
Okay, maybe if you could put your father on.
All right.
And thanks, Orla, for coming on.
Hi.
Hello,
Mr. Steele.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a tough week.
It certainly has, yes. Very traumatic.
Right. How is your daughter dealing with it? I mean, we're just talking to her, and she seems like a typical 10-year-old, but not many typical 10-year-olds have to go through what she went through this week.
No, well, I mean, when she gets up for school, you know, you can see it in her hand. She says, I feel sick in the stomach, you know, and she's very, very nervous now, so she is, like, it's just to be expected. I mean, she's only a child, and she shouldn't have to go through that.
Mr. Steele, maybe you can give our audience some background on this. Well, why are the these loyalists, or for the want of a better word, so upset with you going through their neighborhood to the school?
Well, to be truthful, I never ever went through it, to be truthful. My daughter always, it's such a short road, my daughter has always went twice a day on her own. It's just that these loyalists were putting the flags up in June, and they attacked a parent up there, and the parent obviously had to defend himself, and when he done that, there hundreds of loyalists came out and blocked the school, and now they're saying that the parents are attacking them, you know, and the only thing the parents want to do is get their children to school safely, you know, and I mean, our children aren't attacking grown men, it's the other way around, you know.
Mr. Steele, there was a disturbing article in today's Irish Independent, and it's written by a disturbing writer called Conor Cruise O'Brien. And I want to just take one sentence out of it. He said, but first, there was an important question of why so many of the parents insisted on bringing the children in by the front entrance, where they were subjected to abuse, threats, and danger, where they could have been entered quietly and safely from the back of the entrance. Now, he is criticizing you for using your constitutional rights, if you had a constitution, for walking in and stating that you're really causing the problem because you won't go in through the back entrance.
Yeah, well, that's the way they're trying to turn it around that way. But, I mean, my answer to that is, what would the black people in America have done if they, when they were told to go in the back door or sit at the back of the bus? I mean, if those people had done what the Ku Klux Klan asked them to do, then America wouldn't be free today, would it? So therefore, we have to stand up for our rights. It's not just for my daughter. I think it's for every Catholic school child in the north of Ireland that we are doing this for. So no matter what happens, my daughter will be going through the front door. So she will. And by the way, people say, talk about the back door. There is actually no back entrance to the school. When you come in, there's a wee back gate you have to go over two football fields, another grass field, up a set of steps, in a wee metal gate through a wee fence, round the side of the school and in the front door again. So what sense does that make?
Well, the sense is you wouldn't upset those neighbors that happen to live along the road. I mean, that's from their logic. They don't even want to see you. And I'll just read one sentence from the New York Times today. The vicious sectarian hatreds that have fed more than three decades of conflict have forged a new and shocking image. Protestant protesters spitting at young children and Catholic parents, choosing between danger to their girls and adherence to what they see as unavoidable principles. The New York Times is trying to say that this is a sectarian hatred between the two sides. Now, we've been watching film. I didn't see any sectarian abuse being hurled by the parents or the children to the protesters. But they're putting the spin that there's an equal guilt on both sides, that you're insisting on going up the front way, that this is such a sectarian thing, that you're doing something wrong. From your side, was there any sectarian abuse, bottles, rocks, or bombs thrown from the 4 and 5 year olds over to the protesters?
No, well, I don't think a 4 or 5 year old could throw bottles over armored police jeeps, to be truthful. This is not Catholic and Protestant. This is right and wrong. It's as simple as that. This is just about right and wrong. And we are not intimidating anyone. As I say, I have never been up taught. My daughter walks to school on her own, and she does not intimidate grown men, you know. So, I mean, they are trying to turn the spin around that we have a choice. Personally, I don't think we have a choice, to be truthful. You know, I mean, if we give this up and go in the back door, what are they going to say? Tell us next week. We don't like the colour of a school uniform, or we don't like girls with blonde hair. You know, I mean, where does it end? Or what do we do?
Yeah, well, Mr. Steele, that begs the point that John quoted from the article by Conor Cruise O'Brien. Conor Cruise O'Brien doesn't believe that you should be living in the north of Ireland anyway. You know, Conor Cruise O'Brien has always maintained that, you know, that if you're a Catholic, get down south. Now, this to me is just, it's another facet of what they're trying to do up there. I really have to give you people credit who stood up all this week and did not allow them to, you know, to really pummel you down and beat you down into the street. As somebody said to me, an old person from Belfast, she says, well, times have changed. She says, there one time that will burn the school down. I said, you know, I said, what has changed? I said, this is not even subtle anymore, as we've seen on television in the United States here. This is just, it's returning to where we've been 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, and I think it's got worse than that, to be truthful, you know. I mean, I have never seen this level of violence directed towards school children in my life before. Primary school children you're talking about here now. Remember, they're only from 4 years of age up to 11. So, I mean, they're not big girls, you know, they're only wee children, they're only babies, in fact.
Well, Mr. Steele, I think we're very proud to have you on Radio Free Erin today, and especially you're on the front lines. A lot of people throw around superlatives here at the radio station. Oh, you took a brave stand and you said this over the radio. It couldn't hold a candle to what the decisions that you have to make, and we have to commend you on doing that. But you do have a very big decision to make this weekend about what you're going to do with your child this week if the protests continue. What are you going to do?
Well, she's going to go through the front door, as she has done on her own for her whole school life, and she will do it, no matter what. They'll have to carry us up out of that road in boxes before we stop walking up it, because we're not going to be intimidated by loyalist thugs. So we're not, you know, I mean, they're not intimidating us, it's children. See, people seem to be getting the point. This is only children here. I mean, we are not doing any harm to anybody. We just want to bring our children to school safely, put them in the school where they can learn, like every other Catholic child. I mean, anyone intimidates children is the lowest of the low, you know, to be truthful.
Well, Mr. Steele, we really thank you and your wife and Orler, and give Orler our best, and we'll be staying on top of this situation every Saturday and keeping our audience updated, as it was stated on the morning show here. If you listen to Radio Free Erin a few months ago, you would have known that this trouble was coming down the road when we covered this in June. Yeah. So, Mr. Steele, thank you and your wife for coming on, and thank Joe Lagan for setting this up.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Free Erin. It's a little after 2:30. When we come back, we want to take some phone calls at 212-209-2900. We're going to drop off here, but we're going to go to a piece that we played at the start of the show. And it was two children being interviewed on their thoughts, and I think they were a bit younger than Orla, and they're talking about what's going on. This lasts for about 2 minutes. When we come back, we hope to take your phone calls at 212-209-2900.
On Monday, I was very scared going up the road because all the people were shouting at us. And when I got into the school, I was scared and I said, "Mummy, I want to go home, so I do."
Shauna, what's it been like for you for the last couple of days?
I was scared on Monday because all the people shouting at us. And I was all right when I got into my classroom because my teacher took me up. But then I was scared because my friend heard a bang and we all looked outside. We didn't go near the window. And then we all looked around, we seen smoke. And then we told our teacher and my teacher took us out. And my mummy came up to the classroom. And then we went outside and we seen people hurt. And then we went back around the back of the school through St. Gabriel's. And all taxis come up and my mummy took me home in a taxi. My mummy didn't want me to go down and people shouting at me again because I was too scared. So I was crying on the way up.
And were you both talking to your classmates about what had happened?
Yeah.
And what were they saying?
They were all crying, so they were. Nobody was happy. They were all sad and all their mummies was up with them.
Gemma, how do you feel about going to school now after what's happened?
Every time I go up the drawing road, I just want to go back down it because I don't like going up it. And the day when I went up it, I said that I want to go back down it because there was too much noise there.
And Shauna, how do you feel about going to school now?
I don't want to go up the drawing road anymore because it's happened twice and it's happened too much. Because we didn't do anything to them, and they're shouting at us, so they are.
So neither of you can possibly understand what you've done to upset the people who were shouting at you?
We don't know. Where did they shout at us for? Because we don't shout at them, because we just go on trips with our children. We have a good time, but we don't hurt them.
And welcome back to Radio Free Erin. That was Sinead O'Connor singing All Babies. Pretty appropriate after some of the CDs that we were playing and actually having people on that are on the front lines there trying to go to school. The number here is 212-209-2900. With us in the studio is our own Brian Moore. And we have Bill Propp of the soon-to-be-fired-in band, along with Bob Fast is his comrade here. He's in the studio. He brought up a tape that we were hoping to play of Caroline's, the comedy night, of where I did a parody of WBAI, and Grandpa Al Lewis was speaking about the situation. But having those kids on and everything, we didn't think it would be appropriate to have comedy. And we really want to hear what you thought of just some of the people that you heard today on the show and anything else that you want to bring up. The number here is 212-209-2900. We will be doing the shout out at about 5 to 3. Little mix up last week. But shout out to the prisoners. And it seems this whole show is one prison at the beginning all the way to the end. 212-209-2900. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Bernie. Michael Vincent Crea. Show is fantastic. I almost feel like I'm crossing a picket line making a call. But even though you don't have that tape, I just got back from San Francisco where KPFA. Has been broadcasting Amy Goodman live and well, and I hope that listeners can continue to support reinstatement of her, Grandpa, and everyone else. On the school children thing, it reminds me when I first went to Belfast when I was 13 and a Protestant friend of my mother's took me up there, and there was a slight by the host that we went to have dinner with, oh, he's a Catholic, and that was in the whispers. And, you know, it affected me then because something said I was different. So you can imagine what these kids are being subjected to. I would like to see Martin McGuinness. What a void, what a silence there's been this whole week from our Minister of Education.
Yeah.
I would like to see him on Monday or in the next day or two lead those children up there because that's his responsibility. If he's taken the office, he now has a responsibility. He should exercise his authority, and we'll see whether or not there's power or impotence in the position.
All right. Yeah, Michael, thanks. We got a full switchboard. McGuinness did issue a statement today. He says it will take a miracle to keep the peace process going. That was the latest I saw on the BBC. Also, Democracy Now in Exile is being aired by Anthony Sloan on Friday morning from 4 to 6 a.m. 212-209-2900, full switchboard here at Radio Free Erin. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for today's program. I mean, this has been very insightful and very educational and what I expect from Radio Free Erin. And I thank you very much for airing the families and the children. Thank you.
It's not easy, I think, on our end or their end, Joyce. You know, it's just it's a tough interview trying to talk to a 10-year-old and asking her what these big grown-ups were doing, you know.
But I thank you very much.
Maybe this will creep over to BIX at some stage.
Maybe.
Keep that tape recorder going, Joyce.
Okay. Bye-bye.
WBAI, these are your airwaves. You paid for them. You're on the air.
Thank you, John. And, John, what you're talking about today on the show is very important and compelling, but I would respectfully submit that I think it's even more important to talk about the information channel through which we get this information because of the threat to its continued existence, and I do want to hear this information. I mean, for example, I tried to explain how on the previous show that, you know, lies and propaganda is still being put out. For example, Clayton said that Amy didn't want to be inclusive. She said our Pacifica, not their Pacifica.
You know what? Listen, I don't even want to get into names.
That was a false issue. Okay.
All right. You know what I mean?
This is very important. I think that
we have a full switchboard.
Okay, the information that was aired the other night on Bob's show, I believe, if it was heard during the day, would bring down this current regime. And since it's been alleged that there were lies told there, I'm asking for a full airing of all of those tapes and for people to be able to judge for themselves. The people who are in power now are afraid of letting the Pacifica audience, with all its knowledge, its smarts, its ability to question authority, to analyze what's going on from the evidence. So let's see that, you know, because people just cut off callers when they attempt to talk about this. Okay, John.
And I don't want to do that to you, man.
Thank you so much,
I want to get going because, see, that's why I love being on with Bob Fast Show. He's got 3.5 hours. Bob allows allows everyone to talk. But with the short bang-bang, we only have an hour and a half. We're covering a lot of topics. We're going to try to get through everybody's opinion, what they just heard today. BAR, you're on the air.
Well, of course it's important to hear it, John. I mean, you know, it defies the imagination almost. But this is going on throughout human history. The East Timorese were butchered by the Indonesians. You know, it's not one-sided.
Amaro, allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right.
Well, let me say it this way. If it's not a proven fact, if it's not proven that 200,000 people died, I'd be surprised. We're bombing Iraq every day. Or is that alleged, too? Is it alleged that I called in and the phone was picked up and then no volume and yet on Clayton's show?
Mauro, say
look,
that.
We
man,
are
you got
being
very little time here, man. Come
I
on.
Know, but the thing, the truth has to come out. And I'm glad your previous caller laid it out to you.
Mauro, we got plenty of callers here.
I know.
And if we get our druthers here, you're going to have your own show. Listen.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. See, that was a good way to get them off. BAR, you're on the air. You pay for the airwaves. Use them.
Thank you so much. I want you to know that I am a member of WBAI, and I'm a Roman Catholic. And I'm an African-American person, and many times when I tell people in my community that I'm a Roman Catholic, they're astounded because of the history of racism in the Catholic Church. And we've had a lot of trouble with people who are Irish. If you read Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, he said, I am empathetic with the Irish who came from the potato famine to this country, but were so racist, so against us when they got here, taking over the Catholic Church and the police. How can we get together and change these attitudes? When the young man called in and said that, in fact, he recognized that black people were suffering in this country, he spoke as if it was over. It's not over. The police are so terrible to us. I have appealed time and time again to the Catholic Church. I am Catholic. I asked them to hold meetings around the country in preparation for the World Conference on Racism, and they said no, they wouldn't do it. So what I'm saying to you is there are opportunities where the church can stand up and make a difference, and it hasn't done that. And I have appealed to many people who are Irish, and when it comes to doing a certain amount of work in the community to change these attitudes, it's not happening.
Well, we're trying out a little bit here, an hour and a half a week, trying to draw the parallels.
Well, I listened to your program so that I can see where you're going. And I went through a school. I was the first African-American person to come out of a Irish-controlled Catholic school. And I was boxed on the ears like I was a little beast. I couldn't even picture being treated that way. I made the mistake of putting my children in the same situation and boxed on the ears again. So what I'm saying to you is there is something that is very schizophrenic about the posturing for the fight for Ireland and not realizing how very much people feel that the Catholic Church has done to the Haitians, that the Catholic Church has done to black people in this country. So I appreciate the fact that you're trying, but I'd like to see it more clearly coming across for people in the community because they're not getting the message.
All right, thank you, and I'm just glad that you got through and you got the message out here over the airwaves at WBAI. Thank you for that.
John, I was wondering if you guys could go over the link between the penal laws where the Catholics weren't allowed to have an education and today maybe these Orange or these Nazis or whatever are just simply continuing a tradition of 400 or 500 years.
Well, I'll save that question next week for Nolik. He is the history professor, and he can give us that. But you know what? We have 5 minutes left, and for us to give the history of the penal laws here, it would not do it justice. I see Bernie shaking his head like
no. John, the only reference I want to make is that you know, these people here that are shouting at these children going to school, they are the same makeup as this alleged crew in this country called Scots Irish, Ulster Scots, or anything like this. They're all cut from the same sheet.
And happens to be white.
Yes, and there's no difference in them. Believe me, there's no difference. As long as there's a Bob Jones University, there'll be a lunatics in this country and in Ireland.
All right, we have 5 minutes left. WBAR, you're on the air.
Hey there, John. It's Patrick.
Patrick.
How you doing?
Oh, you're not downstairs?
No, I'm at home in Brooklyn.
Oh, you didn't have a dress?
I was working on something today, and I just got home late, so I couldn't make it over there.
Been a bad hair day, Patrick.
Bad hair day. I couldn't come out with the hair like me. Do you mind if I make a quick announcement, John?
You know what? Do it very quickly, because it's 10-2 here in New York City on WBAI. Patrick, quick.
Okay. Anybody interested in saving free speech and saving WBAI and Pacifica Radio from the coup, if they want to come down with us to Washington, D.C., we have buses going down. This is the Concerned Friends of WBAI. We have buses going down from New York and New Jersey to Washington, D.C. to demonstrate outside of the Pacifica National Headquarters. We're looking for about 110 people. For bus information, you should call Steve at 973-762-3682. That's 973-762-3682. Or for rally information, you can get in touch with Bob at WBAIAction.org. That's Bob at WBAIAction.org. John, that's it. Thank you very much for allowing me to make that announcement.
Thank you, Patrick. Because you know we're in a hurry to get down to Rocky Sullivan's because Guinness doesn't drink itself.
Yes. Good afternoon, John. Thanks for taking my call. This is Pete Caracas. I'm calling from downstairs. I want to give a big shout-out and hello. Tonight we had a very special vigil. Clayton came out and had an encounter with some fired and banned folks out here. Oh, and here he is again, walking up the block as I speak, in fact. Hi, Clayton, how are you? I want to just tell the listeners that, as we all know, times are bad and producers are getting cut left and right. If next Saturday comes and you don't hear John and company on the air, I encourage you folks to come down here. We've been here for the last four or five Saturdays supporting John. The same goes for Bob Fass. If you're listening this Thursday and you don't hear Bob Fass, just come on down, please, and support him. And keep up the great work, John. Thank you very much. God bless you guys.
Ask you one thing before you go.
Absolutely.
If you're down there next week, please don't wear sleeveless dresses and shave your legs.
Yes, and you know, let's wear better dresses down there, will you, Pete?
It's hard to find a dress for a man.
I know you're organizing this, and we're only 1 week away from that wig stock, so there must be a lot of people out there with closets.
Full frontal fashion has come to Wall Street.
Yes.
I think give us another 7 days, and we'll surprise you with the fashion. Next Saturday will be a good one. Absolutely. So come on down, folks, please.
All right. We still have about 4 minutes here. We've got a full full switchboard here. BAR, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for a great show. It's particularly marvelous to hear the children. And by coincidence, actually, earlier this week, I watched Four Little Girls, Spike Lee's movie about the girls that were murdered in Birmingham in the church bombing.
Well, I tell you one thing. The people in Belfast can identify with that.
Of course they can. Actually, I got that as a premium from WBAI back in the day. But
we don't premiums anymore. We sell ourselves.
I understand. But I wanted to say that that church bombing, which was really an act of terrorism and was intended to shut down the civil rights movement, had the opposite effect of what was intended. And I think that when we see people coming after children like this, then it's very clear this is not about politics. This is not about issues. This is about bullying, and this is about abuse. And the bulliers and the abusers just never know at what point they're going to sort of do the karma collection, shall we say. Not that people are going to snap back at them, but that somehow the force of events overrides this whole way of treating human beings. We're not here to treat each other like this. It's such a complete, it so completely flies in the face of the teaching of every religion. And it's so odd, you know, this behavior is so revealing in a certain way that I think that these folks are going to find that this behavior that they're indulging with, these children who have done nothing to them, who have done nothing, who are entirely innocent, it's going to have totally something very different from the intended result, I hope.
Well, do you know what they were chanting at? And the mother didn't want to get into it today. And, of course, we have the song Unrepentant Fenian Bastard. But they were yelling at the kids in particular. They're calling them Fenian Bastards, Fenian Whores, and Fenian Sluts. Now, this is what the 4 and 5-year-olds had to listen to. Yeah. So you can wonder why some people can grow up very bitter in life if you're going through experiences like that.
Well, yeah. But I think we can draw parallels with all kinds of situations where people who feel like they have the upper hand, they're the big people. They're stepping on the little people. Nothing lasts forever.
Well, let's hope not. And hopefully Mr. Steele won't have to make a very important decision on his kid's life, you could almost say, on Monday. And that's a lot of people are going to wake up Monday and think they have a tough life. But Mr. and Mrs. Steele are going to have to make a very big decision.
John, that's a decision that people have made in Belfast over the years. You know, like people have said to people in Belfast for years. And in other parts, like Larne, John, where we were onto for the last couple of months, this nice little seaside resort where people get killed at all hours of the day. These people have made a choice, and they are not leaving. This is their home. They are not leaving. And more power to them. And I think that if some of the greatest people that we have ever had on the show are these people that are under the gun. They are really there fighting for their rights, and they will not be moved.
All right. If you want to get in contact with us and get involved with the rally for the Turkish hunger strike, is 212-209-2971, 212-209-2971, jmcdonagh@nyc.rr.com. That's jmcdonagh@nyc.rr.com. Help us, as even if it's just a couple of us, go out there and show some solidarity on October 20th for the plight of the Turkish hunger strikers.
And being that we are in an election mode here in this town, in this country, if you're of the mind, get in touch with some of your elected officials and tell them that you don't like what's going on over there in Belfast. And of course you don't like what's going on in Turkey. That goes without saying. But you don't like what's going on. Get in touch with your officials. Do what you have to do.
Well, maybe some comedy next week. I thank Bill for bringing up the tape, and maybe we'll have time next week. So, for Radio Free Erin, this is John McDonough.
Brian Moore.
Whichever way we may go, and no matter what winds may blow, it's our
next. And this is T-Dub with the Prisoner Shout Out Line. WBAI plays the shout out line for families and loved ones who have someone that they're concerned with who's incarcerated. I'm going to play the messages right straight away, and some of them are repeats from last week because the broadcast did not air on the Tuesday morning person-to-person time slot. So please stay tuned. And the shout-out line phone number is 212-209-2958, and we'll repeat that at the end of the shout-outs.
To my brothers behind the bars, God heard you. Hold on. We are going to let you all out. Peace and black power. We are the original man and woman. Hey, don't give in now. You're right at the door. It's being opened for you. Please hold on. Peace.
Hello, this is for Winston and Green Haven. I want to say hi. Have a good day. Stay strong. We love you. Keep your head. May God bless. Write me, and I'll write you back. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Mark. This is Angie. This is your girl. I love you, and I'm sorry that I don't visit you, but we will be a family again. The baby loves you and misses you, and I always show the picture to him. We all love you, baby. I hope you come home soon. Bye. Mark, this is Angie. I want you to hear Devin's voice. Hold on. Say hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
I love you.
Love you too, Mom.
Say, come home.
Come home.
I love you.
Love you too.
Goodbye.
Bye.
My shout-out is to, as usual, all the prisoners, men, women, and children, especially the children, please know that there are people who care about you and who keep you in their prayers on a daily basis. God bless. Thank you.
Yeah, this is for my son, Terrell McDonald, at Green Correctional Facility in Caxsackie, New York. Terrell, stay strong, man. I know this got a tendency to get to you from time to time, but stay strong, brother. Keep your head up. You know you're in our prayers all the time. Don't give up, man. Stay strong. You can do this. You're halfway home. Daddy, love you, man. Think about you all the time. keep your head up.
And this is Tita with the number for the prison shout-out line. I just wanted to thank many of the callers that left messages for me personally on the shout-out line because they heard a couple of programs during the week. I really love you all. Thank you so much for your beautiful, kind words. And the prison shout-out line is 212-209-2958. That's 212-209-2958. Thank you, WBAI, New York.
This is WBAI, 99.5 FM on your radio dial. This is Jasper Magruder here with you.